Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Lead Radio, and with me today is our leading lady. I'm delighted to have on our show is Sandra Ford Walston, and she is the author of The Courage Difference at Work, a unique success guide for women. So, Sandra, so excited you're on the show, and say hello to our listeners.
Oh, Michelle, I've just been waiting these few weeks that we've had this schedule to be able to be on your show. Your background and your work is so fascinating, and your devotion to improving women's and lifting women's voices is just so really special in my heart.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you for you made my day. You made my day, and I'm loving
Good.
The topic that we're going to talk about today, which is courage for women. And I love, you know, first of all, I wanted to say I'm really enjoying your book, and I wish I could say I read every single word of it. I'm just enjoying it and taking my time, and it's just filled with such great gems for women. And I think courage is such a big word. I mean, can you kind of share with our listeners, just as a start, what was the motivation with your book? I mean, what inspired you to write such a fabulous book about how to make a difference at work through courage?
Well, this is the second book to the first book, Courage, the Heart and Spirit of Every Woman, Reclaiming the Forgotten Virtue, is really the foundation of where I started my research of collecting over 700, well, I had support across the country to collect over 750 survey forms for women, from women, and had it analyzed, did the quantitative analysis, and it came out that only 11% of women perceived themselves as courageous. Gulp, you know.
Wow,
and,
that's sad.
Yeah, very, very disappointing. So I kind of took a dissertation route, and what I thought would be 1 year of interviewing those women was 2.5 years later, plucking out their why you and what are your secrets and what do we need to know. And so that was really the foundation that then continued to launch and expand. So that was like 5 years of research. And then the book that that you are reading collectively represents about 14 to 15 years of research. Then once women claim it in their personal life, then how do we take it to work? So that was once again based upon interviews and reading and consulting and all of that to bring that research to where it is today. And then now I'm at 21 years of research. So.
So you, let's just say, suffice it to say you are an expert on courage in women. And I love that. I love that. And but tell me a little bit, I mean, how surprised were you to find out that 11% of women really perceive themselves as courageous? I want to hear a little bit more about that. Is it just the mindset of women, or what else have you found as to the reason so many women, you know, discount themselves on being courageous? I'm just, you know, what
right.
inferences can we make on that?
Well, you said the key word. Why do we discount ourselves?
I mean, oh, yeah. Okay.
Just that right there. For example, you know, why don't we ask more for what we want? You know, it's almost like surprise. Well, gee, I mustered my courage to ask, and oh, my gosh, I got it. You know,
yeah.
But so most of the time, the learned responses that we have, we don't want to be rejected. So, and who does like being rejected? But it seems as though women are more comfortable with calling each other bold, assertive, brazen, aggressive, bitch. You know, those kinds
yep.
of things.
Yeah, we use that term.
Hate saying
I get
that,
it.
But that's the candor. That's the truth. As compared to really accepting and acknowledging the individualistic courage in each woman. And I believe there would be nothing in the whole world, and I just spoke at an international conference, and so I say truly the whole world of women, there would be nothing like the collective feminine energy of courage that would change this world and lift us to a whole different level of consciousness in every realm.
Wow, that's powerful right there. And you know, I mean, I want to throw in something. It's amazing to me because I know, you know, in your interviews and then within Connected Women of Influence, the women that we interact with on a daily basis, I hear some of the stories that what women will go through. I mean, whether they're building their business, you know, dealing with career, you know, aspirations and struggles and challenges, or just family and work life. And to me, that is absolutely women being courageous. And I'm just still shocked at that statistic. I find that very sad and disheartening. And yet the actions that I see women do are very courageous. It's just sad that they don't recognize that. Can I say it that way?
Yes, it's what you said so simply, but yet it's all, even because you said it so simply, which is courage is a big word. And it almost negates the whole thing that we're talking about because it really is simple. And yes, when I guide women through their courage portrait and the defining moments in their life or the benchmarks in their life, whatever term you want to use, and then they have something concrete that they can actually say, ah, that was when I had the courage to take a risk. That was when I had the courage to speak up rather than swallow my voice. But most of the time, we don't even have an integral level of courage consciousness to be a keen observer of our self-talk about, well, why didn't I speak up? What was the chatter? What was the insanity and the ego going on? And people will generally, and this is what separates me from other people, will always go towards fear and focus on fear, 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 fear. I don't. Fear is a creation of the ego. And when we begin to see how we can become more conscious and say, okay, why did I swallow my voice? How often in a month do I sell my soul? Why did I see that red flag? Why do I need 4 red flags? It's that kind of integral level of courage consciousness that I try to awaken women to. And then just as simply, Michelle, start using the word.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's like when I hear the word courage, I think I'm going to hopefully put a little bit of weird bent on this, but I think of the Wizard of Oz, right? You know, I mean, the lion is like, I have courage. You know, he wants his courage. That's like what he wants to get. And I keep thinking, courage, you know, courage. It's like it's a great, powerful word, but it's not something I have to say that I see women use in their vocabulary. That really, and you say fear is what many women will use, or overcoming fear of overcoming obstacles, but courage is what maybe allows us to act on, you know, what it is that's our fear. So tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, how do you define courage? I know you talked about that, you know, and some of the things I was reading about that and in your book.
It's just, once again, very simple, but the ego will want to make it complex. Like, how can it be so simple and be good? How can it be beneficial? And that I invite people to embrace the etymology of the word courage, which is medieval Old French courage, meaning heart and spirit. So you want to look at when your time comes to pass on, whatever that could be, what percentage of your life right now is filled with regrets? You know, how often do you have missed opportunities? You know, and the other thing is, Michelle, is that our culture really doesn't support women because we look for the sensational, the amazing, the tragic, the scandalous, or glamorizing the superficial. We discount women's everyday journey that they have of the wonderful stories that you hear in your wonderful work and that I hear when I'm working with women or speaking at a conference or whatever, that we just discount, you know, our stories. And so I always ask people, and let me ask you and your listeners, when was the last time you used the word?
Yeah, no, it's that's powerful enough because I mean, just when you say the word, you know, you sit up a little differently, you pay attention. I mean, yes. It's a great, powerful word. I know one of the things I saw in your book was you talked about, you know, kind of courageous leadership, and you kind of mentioned what you know, is that still just the same thing, or what is courageous leadership that I did a little bit of reading about in your book?
Well, when you say what is courageous leadership, an example of that, you mean?
Right, and you have a book on courageous leadership, is that right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, courageous leadership would be, for one thing, asking for what you want. One lady said to me, she goes, you know, the person above me was leaving their position, and I really, really wanted that position. So do you know what I did? I went in and I did the brazen thing.
Brazen.
Brazen, right. She says, I went in and asked for the job, and I got it. You know, and it's
That's
like
amazing.
I said, so why was that brazen? Why wouldn't you want to be managing up your career? Why didn't you deserve that position? You know, what it, so you can imagine all the chatter of, oh my gosh, what if I'm going to do this? And what if they say, and what if they, blah, 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 which is what causes the suffering and limits us and discounts our courage. Another several women said to me, one of the best courageous moves I made to show my courageous leadership was ask for the tough project, the project no one wanted, the one that people said, oh, I don't want to take that one because it might fail. Or, ooh, I don't want to be attached to that. And these women said that was the best thing to muster their courage to do. So it's courageous leadership is about standing in your true self and making sure that you do not sell your soul, that you do speak up, you do step up, and really you say, you know, why not? I only know a couple of jokes and one I don't have the courage to tell on the radio. And the one that I do is, how do you know when you're getting old? And the response is, whether you respond with why not or why bother. And that made me reflect that really getting old is really when you start losing your courage.
Wow.
You just become
little
complacent.
Kid, yeah, when you're little, it's like you learn to ask. I mean, if ask is a real key piece of courage. It's like so many kids, you know, when we turn into adults, we lose our wonder, we lose our enthusiasm, we, you know, life. We had somebody, I love the word courage. We had one of our speakers for our just conference recently. She said, you know, what do you do when the world, what would you want to do before the world should on you? And I thought, oh, what a powerful question that is. You know, kind of like the same thing. You know, not the shoulds. It's like, what do we want to do? What do we believe in? Anyway, segue, because I really want to talk a little bit more about the courage difference at work. And so I love that we kind of have defined the simplicity of courage. And I know courage leadership to me is just, it sounds like it's internal and it's about leading others. But what was, you know, your inspiration for the courage difference at work? And it's like, how is that different from maybe individual behavior? I know you've got some real gems here of starting out and claiming your courage and then making sure you kind of identify your own assets, you know, from the courage factor. Give us a little bit of an overview about your book.
Well, gosh, that was a lot.
yeah, I know. And I probably had 20 questions in there with it. So let's pick one, because I do that. I have big questions with five of them in there. I think, what was the inspiration for you with the courage difference at work? What inspired you to do this distinction of a book as opposed to the personal side of courage?
Well, like I said, the first book is the personal foundation. So I always had a visualization of three books for women, starting out for women. The first one, like I said, the Courage, the Heart and Spirit of Every Woman. Once you've claimed it in your personal life, then how do you take it to work? So that's the book that you have. And then when I was on my national book tour, I always had some, there was always a woman that said, so do you have any other books in, you know, that you're going to write? And I always said, yes, the second one, which you have, The Courage Difference at Work, A Unique Success Guide for Women, and then Courage for Teenage Girls. And it was so interesting how women would always say, that's the book. That's the book you need to write, Courage for Teenage Girls, which I've published articles and things. And I looked at them and I said, if I wrote a New York Times bestseller, just a classic, fabulous book, that's not going to change things. All you need to do is to start saying the word and be an example of it. So the inspiration was just, you know, what I always visualized. Now, I didn't write that third book, Courage for Teenage Girls, because to be quite honest, to try to convert 89% of women is not an easy, I'm a trailblazer, is not, and an entrepreneurial woman like you, is not an easy task. So the third book ended up being non-gender. And here's the deal. Men get it. Men get it. Now, what happens with men, and while I haven't done that quantitative research as I did in the first book, they start merging and or commingling or muddling the word courage, heart and spirit, with bravery. And bravery is valor and physical courage. So once again, when you kind of had those 20 questions all in one, I love your passion, is that I've learned that there are facets to courage. So there's individual courage, there's leadership courage, there's moral courage, there's spiritual courage. So I usually have to, you know, clarify with somebody what they're looking for in our culture, like this, the sensational, the amazing, tragic, and the scandalous, is looking for the physical courage, and that's not my work. So,
wow. You stopped me on one thing. It's like, first of all, it's fascinating, and I always hate to kind of go through, is there a difference between how men see things and women see things? Because, you know, in our world, you know, how men do things. I'm just coming off writing a book where I interviewed men for 3 years and asked them, what do women do that sabotage their success in business? And it's been fascinating with the interviews of interviewing men. And just to hear the words and the choices of words that men use when they're talking about how to advance in business versus the words that women will use was a real aha for me. And so I'm curious, you know, when you saw the difference between men and women, it's like when it comes to courage, do you feel a lot of it is just from our upbringing and how women are, you know, raised versus men and boys and that kind of thing? Because I see that as a huge difference. And there's a powerful phrase in YouTube which talks about, you know, we cannot truly, you know, empower women and girls until we fully engage men and boys. And I stick to that and go, it is so true. But not that we want to be men or act like men. I'm just curious, from your research in that, do you find that men and women see courage differently all across the board?
Well, I think it spins back to what we said in the beginning, that we women just tend to discount our stories. And when I've asked women, either on the phone or say at a gathering or something, they'll be telling a story that I go, wow, this could go in my book. This is a great story. You know, it won't make Oprah's show, Amazing Stories of Courage. You know, I say that because I was supposed to be on her show. But it's like they'll say their story, and here's always the response, Michelle. Now, if you could see my body language right now, you would see that I'm sitting up straight, and I'm like, okay, here it is. And that is, they will do this, so just bear with me. So I'll say, wow, that is such a story of courage on how you did not swallow your voice, but yet, you know, or how you transitioned to a job and left abuse, but you didn't even have another job in place, but things that I find, you know, they're not sensational, they're not tragic, mm-hmm. they're not scandalous, and the woman will almost always go, oh, no, I just did what I had to do, or, hey, I had to survive. And I think, wow, you want survival to be your placket, to be your word? But once again, we'll discount the word courage because our culture looks for, hey, I haven't jumped in front of a truck to save a child. I haven't, you know, swam in a river to, you know, blah, blah, blah. I haven't fallen on a grenade. And, yes, the socialization of men is more receptive to that. But once again, they tend to get into bravery. So I was just reading an article, actually, that this person wrote online. And once again, they said courage, blah, 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 and bravery. So they commingled the two words. They're not synonymous.
I'm still stopped by this because women will discount and second-guess themselves like anybody. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Like, one of the things we have a saying in CWI with among women will be, you know, hey, you know, what makes you awesome? And I watch women who will just kind of, like, giggle and go, oh, you know, I'm not. I'm like, no, tell me how you're awesome. We all have our awesome factor, right? But it's like, you know, it's the self-promotion, the braggadocious, the, you know, kind of like feeling like we're courageous. Yeah, we don't see it the same way. I mean, this is, right. I think it's so interesting. But one of the things I know you pointed out in your book was about courage and self-doubt. And you said that was obstacle 9. And I have to say that was probably the first chapter that I turned to because I feel so many of us as women will second-guess, self-doubt. That, do you remember that Disney movie that was called, it had to do with the voices in our head? Where it was like, you know, anger, that kind of stuff. And it's like it's the head trash that just gets in our way so many times with courage. I mean, how does that fit into courage from what you know about women? And what can we do to overcome that? Because that's a big one, self-doubt.
Well, Yeah, self-doubt is a big one, along with the other 12, well, there's a total of 12 obstacles in your book with 12 courage actions. But like you said so beautifully, it is the chatter that's in our head that undermines us and keeps us from being all we want to be. And as I said before, when your time comes to pass on, you don't want to be, I wish I'd had more courage to blah, blah, blah. I wish I'd had more courage to blah, 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 so that you have regrets. But self-doubt, I mean, I'll share with myself. At what point I had this conversation with myself, please don't call 911 yet, okay? I had this conversation with myself. At what point, Sandra, are you the courage expert? Do you need to write 2 books? 3 books, earn $1 million, be on blah blah blah. I mean, at what point can I own, you know, that I am the courage expert and not feel like I'm bragging or whatever? And I will say that in the first 5 years, I had arrogance attached to it, and I had a very humbling experience that I'll never forget. Thank you from a very gracious woman. And I realized, wow, I didn't really know anything. Now with 21 years of research, I rarely hear anything new, you know, that comes up or a new quote or whatever. But if we look at self-doubt, it's a matter of our self-esteem. And I write a lot about Katharine Graham in that chapter, who I think was the best CEO this country ever had. Because Katharine Graham of the Washington Post really exemplified a higher integral level of courage consciousness, which is what I call, quote, where courage meets grace. In other words, we sometimes think that courage means I've got a steamroll over you. You know, but a higher integral level of courage consciousness is where courage meets grace. And she really exemplified that demeanor. And got to remember, she overcame and Watergate. I mean, she exposed Watergate. I mean,
I didn't know that. Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
wow.
Her stocks went down. She was, you know, in a man's business, and I don't know. What's his name that wrote Good to Great? He even said that he thought that Katharine Graham was the best CEO this country's ever had, really exemplify a CEO. And her husband committed suicide right downstairs in the living room. And she had to deal with that. So,
that's courage in my book. That's courage.
Yes, that's courage. Yes, she really exemplifies self-doubt. She had enormous self-doubt that she was able to take over and do this job, even though her education was in the paper and her dad was in the business. She stepped up, and that's what courage is, stepped up. So she took over the tough project, you know, the project no one wanted, but she also established higher standards.
And I know you talk about that in your book in a big way. It's just, you know, the idea that it's like you're raising the bar a bit on any behavior. Is that correct?
For yourself.
Yes. Well, then the accountability piece that goes with your book, that comes into play as well. You know, I mean, we are our best accountability partner, and we don't realize it, I think, as women. You know, even though we just do it, it's that we don't see it as courageous. I mean, your book is fascinating. Before we get off the show, I want to make sure we have listeners throughout the U.S., so if any of our listeners would like to get your book or to contact you, because I'm assuming if people want to reach you, you'd like to share how they could get in touch with you. What's the best way, Sandra?
Thank you. Well, you know, I always say that we need to support each other, and that doesn't happen on Amazon. So if there's interest in my book, it's on my website. It's Sandra Walston, walston.com. All of my books are on there. I would love to hear from any of your listeners. And I guess if I may just offer one parting question to leave with your listeners is, what would you do right now if you had unlimited courage?
Okay, so I'm going to turn that on you because we still have time. I wasn't wrapping up.
Good.
It's like, what would you do? What would you do if you had one more piece of courage? What would you do? I'm going to turn it on you.
Okay, that's okay. Well, I have the courage to be vulnerable, so I can't believe I'm going to do this. But since my issue tends to be around vulnerability, and I don't mean telling you my deepest, darkest secrets, because I unfortunately don't have anything scandalous that would be interesting to tell.
Darn, that's what sells, right? Darn
but,
it.
But I just got back from Vancouver, British Columbia, and I was speaking at an international conference that was about 75% men, I mean, literally from around the world. And there was one man that happened to be single and that approached me, and he lives in Ottawa, but I'm going to tell him, hey, I'm willing to get on a plane and fly over 1,000 miles to continue the relationship.
Oh, my gosh, that's
Yikes.
Awesome. I think that's pretty courageous. That's pretty courageous, Sandra.
Thank you.
I love it.
See,
I love
look
it.
At how
you know,
simple. Look at how simple that is. And so, you know what, if he says, no, I'm not interested in that, I won't have any regrets that I didn't reach out and have the courage to be vulnerable. Like, why not?
I love it. I love it. And, you know, you've got so much good information inside you. We could talk on this for hours. But, you know, one of the things I'm hoping, you know, for those of you, I do encourage you to get the book. It's extremely powerful. I mean, I'm still looking through it, and I'm not, and it's just, it's intriguing to me on some of the different things that you don't even realize that we do as women, and we circumvent and discount and dismiss for ourselves. So I it's very empowering. I love the book. But here's one of the things I'm hoping you can wrap up with us, and maybe there are three tips that you might suggest to our listeners, you know, based on your expertise and just kind of a top one, top two, top three, that we can do for behavior or actions or thinking to be a little more courageous. I want to leave us on a high note. So what would be those three tips you could give us?
The three tips, the first one is, just like I said, very simple, start saying the word. Now, The second tip would be go on my website and download under the Courage, the Heart, and Spirit of Every Woman the Source Will diagram, and that is the 12 behaviors, all equal in value, that you would then be able to distinguish. For example, this is when I need the courage to speak up. This is when I need the courage to take a risk. This is when I need the courage to expose an illness because I'm concerned I could lose my job or something. You know, so be able to identify the equality of those 12 behaviors of courage. And then the second one is just to become more conscious of the chatter that goes on that undermines one's ability to take action to be more courageous. So
I'm just going to share number three is my favorite because I think the chatter is what gets in our way. And then also not identifying when it is, you know, being courageous. I think women just feel like I'm just going to get through it. It's like that's being courageous, you know. So all good things, all good things. You know, is there anything I haven't asked you that you feel is really important that we should share with our listeners? Because I'm taking away quite a few little lovely things, but I know you wanted me to kind of talk a little bit more and have you address the culture, you know, that keeps us from everyday courage. I don't know if we really, you know, got a lot on that. Any comments on, finals on that, of what really holds us back as a culture from taking charge of everyday courage?
Well, it's thinking that it's just too big of a word, that I haven't saved a drowning child, I haven't run in front of a truck. I always tell people, it's interesting to me, what would be your definition of courage? If you were to update Webster's Dictionary, so something short, what would be your definition of courage? And then when I guide them through a courage portrait, in other words, the defining moments or the signposts along their life, and it doesn't matter if they're 21 or 81, I can tell you, they end up, and then you take that source wheel diagram that I mentioned, and you correlate that with which behaviors are you most receptive to or kind of know that energy. And when I say energy, the word virtue in Latin is vers, V-I-R-S, meaning energy. So I don't mean talking fast or whatever. And once you do that, you will notice that your definition of courage ends up pretty much correlating with what that behavior was. In other words, if I say my definition of courage is basically taking risks. I'm the entrepreneur. I take risks. I did this. I did this. I did this. And then I did this, you know, from when I was 8 to when I was 22 to when I was blah, blah, blah. And you'll find that those probably correlate with your understanding of taking risks. So if you print out that source wheel diagram and place it in a prominent place, you'll begin to get used to being able to use the word around each of those 12 behaviors. Or so they can email me and I'll send them the PDF, whichever.
I love it. And again, your website is what? And we are done with our show, my dear. But
okay.
What is your website? One more time, Sandra, just so everybody has it.
www.sandrawalston, WALSTON.com. Thank you, Michelle.
Sandra, thank you for being our show and being our leading lady today. I want to say thank you to our listeners, as we'll be back again next week for another edition of Women Lead Radio. I want to share that our leading lady next week will be Melissa Wilson, who is the CEO of NetWorlding Publishing Incorporated. And our topic next Friday will be a published author, it's the new business card. So to all of our listeners, you know I always say, please go out there and support one another, and all of you have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.